But since you've made me feel so much at home, I have to tell you, in our church we do this thing, and some of you at the breakfast yesterday, I told you this, but we like to do this thing where I say, God is good, and the people respond by saying,
all the time.
Wow, you're fast learners, that's great. And all the time,
God is good.
God is good. And don't ever forget that. You know, we're worshiping Him, we're singing those great songs of the faith, and those words that were there, and I so appreciate the worship team. I know that you folks on the worship team, as well as Paul back there running the tech stuff and all that, you're putting in extra time. It requires extra energy and sacrifice when it's revival services. So thank you so much for doing that. And as I grabbed the clicker over here that I forgot, we're going to begin tonight, first of all, with a scripture reading from Matthew chapter 18. So if you have your Bible and you want to turn to Matthew chapter 18, I invite you to do so, whether it's, again, a paper Bible or a digital Bible of some format. I want to encourage you this. The scripture's on the screen, and I know that you're used to that, and that's a good thing. No, nothing wrong with that. But I want to encourage you to consider, if you haven't been bringing a Bible, to do so. Because the neat thing about having your own Bible is you can write in it when the Lord speaks to you. You can underline. You can take a note. You can refer back to it at times like that. So, again, that's just a suggestion. But in Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 23, hear the word of the Lord as it says this. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay back the debt. When the other servants saw what happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that happened. Then the master called the servant in. He said to him, 'You wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." For our prayer this evening, as we dig deeper into God's Word, I'd like to ask that you join me in the Lord's Prayer. Now, those of you like Brother Bob and Wayne know that in our church we pray the Lord's Prayer. I like to pray it more slowly and more reflectively, because it's so easy to just habitually say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," and so on, without really thinking about it. I'm not saying that that's what you've done. I'm just saying that we as God's people, it's so easy to just rattle off the Lord's Prayer. But when we really stop and think of line by line what's in the Lord's Prayer, and we really begin to understand the deeper meaning of how Jesus taught us to pray. So I invite you to pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples and teaches us as well as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. If you want to flip over in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, we're going to look at a passage there, and then we're going to dig into the message tonight. So in Matthew chapter 6, and again, here's the slide that we're going to see every night with a little reminder from James 1:22 of the importance of not only hearing the word, but doing the word. So tonight in Matthew 6:12, this is again Jesus speaking, and it's in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says this very simply. It's part of the Lord's Prayer. Depending on how you learned it, trespasses, sins, or debts, Jesus says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. So tonight, obviously, our topic is forgiveness, and the title of the message tonight is Shredding Unforgiveness. When we look at what Jesus said, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, when we take a closer look at that, we can look and realize what he was saying. And again, I recognize that some of our Bibles use the word debts. Some of our Bibles might use the word sins. There's actually a few Bibles that use the word trespasses. So it helps us to understand the concept of forgiveness if we understand what these words mean. So the word debts means, obviously, what is owed, an obligation that is owed to somebody. Sin is a wrong, right? Sin is a wrong, right? And so sin is a wrong which requires satisfaction. Sin is something that is wrong that needs to be paid for. We know that Jesus paid the price for our sins on the cross. Amen? Wow, that was a real half a amen on a Sunday night. Are you glad that Jesus paid the price for your sins by shedding his blood on the cross? Amen. Amen. So the debt of sin that we owed has been paid by the Lord Jesus Christ, shedding his blood for us on the cross. That was an obligation to satisfy the requirement of God's wrath, that the sin had to be atoned for. So when we pray, forgive us our debts, we have a little better understanding of what that means. Then some Bibles say, forgive us our sins. And we know that sins is violating God's standards. Trespasses, the word trespasses, again, a lot of Bibles don't use that word, but that word actually means to overstep boundaries. So think about it. If you have a neighbor with a property line and they don't want you on their property, and you step over the boundary onto their property, then you would be considered trespassing. Well, trespassing is going into territory where we don't belong. Going into territory that is off limits. The territory that God does not want us to go into or have anything to do with is the territory of evil, the territory of worldliness, the territory of things contrary to God and His Word. So forgive us our debts, Lord. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our trespasses. Well, let's look at what forgiveness really means, because I'm telling you, in my 22 years of pastoring, one of the most common questions I've been asked is, what does it really mean to forgive somebody? And there's as many definitions of forgiveness as there are books about forgiveness, I'm sure. But when we look at the definition of forgiveness, first let's go to the dictionary. The dictionary tells us to forgive somebody means to give up resentment. To give up resentment towards someone, or to give up the desire to punish. To forgive, according to the dictionary, means to excuse for a fault or an offense. But let's dig deeper into the Bible, and we see that when the Bible talks about forgiveness, when Jesus said to forgive, he's saying that we need to pardon, or actually it means to cancel out. He didn't say to just kind of rub it over and hide it and disguise it, but to cancel it out, to be done away with it. It means to leave or to release or to abandon. So you get an idea where Jesus is going with this. When Jesus taught us and we prayed, forgive us our sins, forgive us our debts as you have forgiven us. You know, the Bible tells us that in Jesus Christ, when our sins are forgiven, they're forgiven as far as the east is from the west. They're thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that every sin you've ever committed, when you're forgiven by Jesus Christ, it's forgotten, it's done away with. That's why we're justified in Christ, just as if we'd never sinned. He doesn't hold on to it and keep throwing it into our faces. Who tries to do that, by the way? The devil, the enemy tries to do that. Oh, that thing about Jesus and the cross and the blood, forget that. You don't have to, you know, there's nothing in that. No way. We're cleansed and saved by the blood of Jesus, that amazing grace. Aren't you glad in Christ your chains are gone? That weight that you've been carrying around is gone through the power and the grace of God? If you haven't experienced that yet tonight, I encourage you to open your heart to Jesus, because that's the only way you can be set free from the weight and the guilt of sin. But anyways, the definition of to forgive in the Bible means to leave or to release. It comes from the root meaning of the word to take away. To take away. So when we are forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins are taken away and they're done away with. Because we can't do that on our own, can we? We try. We try a lot of different ways to get rid of our sin or to cover it up or to deal with it, but we can't do that. It's a futile effort. But Jesus Christ does it for us. So we understand now the biblical definition of forgiveness. Again, it's an overview tonight, but here's my way of defining forgiveness. It's right up there on the screen. To give up your right to get even. Well, Pastor George, what do you mean by that, you might be asking? Because when we hold on to unforgiveness, we really are doing that whether we admit it or not or say so or not. We're doing it to get even with somebody. I'm not going to talk to that person ever again. See, that's how I'm going to get even with them. Because 37 years ago, they said something to me that bothered me and bent my nose, and I'm going to show them I'm not going to talk to them. When I pass them in the supermarket, I'll turn the other way. I won't have anything to do with them. I'll show them. See, we come up with ways to try and get even. You know, true story, I know somebody who's not here now, they've passed on, but somebody who was near and dear to me, who for over 20 years, there was friction between them and their neighbor, all because of an incident with clothes on a clothesline. And there was a problem. And there was this. And there was unforgiveness. Wouldn't talk to each other. Wouldn't get along. Next door neighbors. And let's be honest. Because of the evil influence and our human nature, that's why, by the way, God wants to change our nature, our tendencies, our devotion, our priorities, and our heart through the work of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, because of humanity, we like to cling to things, don't we? It's safer to hold on to those things. It's so much easier to say, I'm just going to hold on to that grudge than to forgive. You know, Jesus didn't say it was easy. You think it was easy for Jesus to go to the cross? No. But the Bible says he considered it a joy set before him to go to the cross. Not that he went, yippee, I'm going to give my life and be crucified horribly. But rather, he knew what the outcome would be for yours and my benefit. So, to forgive, when God calls us to forgive, it really means to give up our right to get even. To give up our right to hold a grudge. To give up our right to hold something against somebody. But Jesus said this. He taught us, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us, those who sin against us, however you want to word it. As we has some different meanings. It could mean chronologically, you know, as Pastor Keith whiffs a golf ball out on the course, I will too. Happens chronologically. Similar. One event happens, so does the other. In the manner of timeliness and willingness. Forgive as we have been forgiven. It also can mean in the like manner. Forgive, Jesus taught us to pray. Forgive us our sins or our debts or our trespasses, as we also have forgiven those who trespass against us. So as we can also mean in the manner of. How would we like it if Jesus said, I'm going to forgive your sins 40%? Where would that leave us? So forgive us our sins as we also have forgiven. So let's flip that question around with the mirror verse, Colossians 3:13. The Bible tells us, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Do we really do that? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. How does the Lord forgive us? How about the chronological or the timeliness aspect or the willingness? Don't we know that the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us. He's willing. And when we come to Him and confess our sins, does He say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm a little busy right now. I've got a tea time in a few hours, so let me get back to you on that. No. Bam! There's power in the blood, amen? How about the manner? Oh, George, you're coming to me again? Bothering me again? All right, halfway today I'll forgive him. Come back tomorrow for the rest. No. How are we forgiven? Completely. Sins washed away, as I said earlier. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So that's what Jesus is telling us to do. Because we just prayed in the Lord's Prayer, by the way. Lord, forgive us our sins, forgive us our debts, as we forgive others their sins against us. As we. And how's that supposed to be? Just like that. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Aren't you glad that when Jesus forgives your sins, He doesn't hold on to a little bit and pull you back to that and say, hey, remember this? Now listen, let me tell you, there might be things, sin has its consequences. And so we recognize that there may be sins in our life or have been sins in our life where the consequences are still there and we have to deal with them. That's why we trust in God's grace. Amen? But forgive as the Lord forgave you. Wow. So here's a question I pose to you tonight. What if, knowing what forgiveness means and the call to forgive others, and we understand a little bit better tonight the as we part, what if we really mean that? What if we really mean that we're willing to forgive others in the same manner and timeliness and willingness as Jesus has forgiven us? Instead of fighting it, putting it off, nursing the grudges, holding on to it, and still trying to get even with people. You know, sometimes we try and do that. We try and get even with people by not forgiving them. And we may not even realize, you know, it may just be kind of the way we MO, our method of operation. What if in the Lord's Prayer, when we prayed, forgive me, Jesus, in the same manner as I forgive others? And what if, again, going back to that mirror verse, I'll forgive you as the Lord has forgiven me. What if we really, really, really mean it? Let's take it a step further. What if in Matthew 6:14 and 15, if you have your Bibles or it's on the screen, so we just prayed in the Lord's Prayer and we read the verse on the screen, forgive us our debts, our trespasses, our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Okay, great. Doesn't that sound good? But let's go a step further in verses 14 and 15. Jesus says this, for or because or continuing the thought, if you forgive men when they sin against you, men, people, whomever, when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Well, but if you do not forgive others of their sins, your Father will not forgive you. Is God doing that? Does Jesus say that because He's a meanie? Are we not called to be like Christ? That's what holiness really is, being Christ-like. And you know, we want all the benefits of being followers of Christ, don't we? You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:8 and 9, one of my favorite verses, though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and you're filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We love that. We want that. Bring it on, Lord. That's all I want. You know, don't we want all of God? Don't we want all that he has for us? Does he have all of you? See, it isn't that Jesus wants to be the big meanie. He wants us to be like him for our benefit and for the benefit of others. Jesus does not want you and I to have to go through life nursing a grudge. Jesus doesn't want us to be like the unmerciful servant that we read about. You know, we get the big forgiveness from God, but then we squabble over a little thing. And by the way, I'm not suggesting that things that cause hurt and pain are always little things. We recognize in life there's some major things. But Jesus doesn't want us to be like the unmerciful servant. Can you imagine how miserable that unmerciful servant was? What was he like deep down inside? When he got forgiven, whatever the amount was, I don't remember, the 10,000 or whatever that he owed. But how miserable must he have been inside to hold a grudge for $100? But you know, people do that. So, some honest reflection and questions as we recognize the call to forgive. These are just a few that I propose. Again, they're for self-reflection. Are my relationships clouded by hostilities? Do I harbor any hatred in my heart? Do I tend to indulge in ill will toward others? Gossip, resentment, hard feelings, whatever. Do I allow resentment to simmer under the surface? Because, you know, it's so easy to walk around looking like that. But under the surface, we're like gas fumes ready to have a match put to them and phew. Is there a gnawing grudge or a bitter root of accusation or cynicism in my life? See, these are questions God wants us to ask as we reflect on ourselves. Again, not because he wants to back us into a corner and beat us up, because he wants to set us free. Do the wrongs I've experienced from others eat away inside of me? Do they gnaw at me and eat away at me? Because here's the problem with unforgiveness. Unforgiveness results in a lot of things. It results in choking us with frustration and gagging us spiritually. It really impedes our spiritual growth. It hurts our relationship with Jesus. And ultimately, it does potentially jeopardize our standing with God, because, hey, it isn't Pastor George that said, forgive or your Father won't forgive you. That's the Master himself. You know, what happens with unforgiveness is this. We have that unforgiveness inside of us, and it starts to bubble up. And what do we do with it? We plunge it back down. And everything's all right for a while. And then it starts to bubble up again. And every time we have to plunge it back down, it gets harder and harder to plunge. And when it starts to come back up, it comes back up and it burns more. I like to call it acid reflux of the soul. It's like Jonah. You know Jonah in the Bible, right? And God told him to go to Nineveh. I got to tell you, when I was driving here Friday, I didn't realize on I-88 there's a Nineveh. I prayed extra when I went, when I saw, seriously, I prayed extra. I did because, well, sadly, America's becoming a Nineveh. But I did. I prayed. I didn't realize that. But anyways, Jonah was called to go to Nineveh. And, you know, he didn't want them to hear the goodness of God. He had bitterness. He held something. Oh, they're a bunch of dirty, rotten, stinking sinners over there. God, I don't want to go see them. And so I like to say Jonah, you know, he had that resentment. He had that grudge against them. Boy, a grudge against God wanting to do something good. And so what happened to Jonah? He not only had that acid reflux, he became the acid reflux of the big fish. Because you know what happened? The big fish swallowed him, and then 3 days later, he was the acid reflux. Can you imagine how he came out all slimy and acidy and everything, trying to rub his eyes and clean his face and everything? That's what unforgiveness does to us. And yet we try and we can't control it. It ends up controlling us because it leads to sometimes things like belching out belligerence, hurtful things, gossip, spears, barbs of retorts, accusations, words of grudge and hurtful things. And then that ripples down through. Other people hear that, and it causes everything from suspicion to division. Well, I tell you what, when that works its way into a church, it, as it says, it burns like acid reflux. It leaves a rotten taste in our mouth. Because people that have unforgiveness and won't deal with it, they get a bitter. You ever had acid reflux? Oh, that bitter. People with spiritual acid reflux of unforgiveness, their words become bitter towards others. And most importantly, and again, the top several there in our relationship with other people, they're very important, but at the top, I should have put it at the top of the list, it sours our relationship with God. Because sin in our lives is what separates us from God. Bob and Wayne know this. I like to say it all the time. Jesus wants us to be right and tight with Him. But any sin does this. This is God. This is me. Who moved? Who forced the sin? Forced who to move? Becomes a separation. Jesus wants us to be like this. But unforgiveness, like any other sin, pushes us away. It sours us to God. We become numb. Sometimes unforgiveness, we grip it so long, we become numb to it. We almost don't even realize it. It just becomes our MO, our second nature. Bitterness, sarcasm, cynicism, suspicion, speculation. You ever known anybody that they're suspicious of everything? They're suspicious of everybody. They always speculate the worst. And that's what happens in our relationship with God if we don't do something about the forgiveness, the unforgiveness. God has better for us in store. He doesn't want us to have acid reflux of the soul all of our lives. He doesn't want us to live. He wants us to live in freedom, set free from that. Boy, it hurts. You know, unforgiveness also hurts other people around us. It ripples negatively. Anyways, steps to forgiveness. First, you've got to end the denial. Like anything else, like any other sin, we have to admit it. And we have to go to Jesus. And we have to say, you know what? This is an issue in me. No, it doesn't matter what the sin is. The Bible says, if we confess our sins. In order to confess our sins, we have to say, yep, I got a problem. I got something that I can't deal with, and I need Jesus to take care of this for me. But we have to be willing. We have to be willing. That's why Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary with acid reflux. Okay, I paraphrase that scripture. But that's what Jesus meant. You got unforgiveness, you're struggling. Come to me. It's making you weary. Come to me. We have to end the denial. I've heard so many people say, oh, I forgave them a long time ago. Yes, Dave, I've had people say to me, oh, I've let them know that I forgave them, but I haven't talked to them since. And then we have to take ownership of our response. Sin is only a choice away. Doesn't matter how long you've been sanctified, doesn't matter when you were baptized, sin is only ever a choice away. As is the choice to continue to be stuck in the pit of that sin. And God's got better for us than that. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. So we have to take ownership of our response. You know something, folks? We're not puppets on a string. We're not on autopilot. We don't sit back in our lazy boy, say, okay, God, here I am, do what you want. I'll be on autopilot. You take care of it. I'll just sit here and relax. Oh, we have a role. We have a role in it. But Pastor George, you don't know, Pastor George, the hurt I've experienced. Pastor George, it's so easy to read that, but you don't understand what happened to me years ago. We live, but. I say, but God. Well, you know what? If you're sitting here tonight and you're struggling with unforgiveness, first of all, I want you to know you're not alone, because it's a common thing among a lot of people, including God's people. But I will also tell you, you're absolutely right. If you're sitting here tonight saying, Pastor George, you don't know. But Pastor George, you don't know what I've been through. You're right. So what I want to do now is I want to take just a very brief moment and give you a snapshot of my testimony. Because I too have experienced a lot of hurt and grappled in the past with unforgiveness. And I want to tell you up front that whenever I share this testimony, I do so not to rehash and bring up stuff of the past, but to give glory to God because of how Jesus has worked in my life over the years. But I'll tell you that when I was a child growing up, I grew up with an abusive dad. I don't need to go into all the details, but I'll tell you that I had a dad who was very abusive towards me and my two sisters. And he was abusive to all three of us in different ways. He was very abusive to my mother, physically, emotionally, verbally. As a boy of 10 years old, I saw things that no 10-year-old boy should ever have to see. My dad walked out on us when I was 12 years old. My mom had cancer. She couldn't get a full-time job. Back then, if you had cancer, you couldn't get work. So he walked out, handed my mother a $100 bill and left. Left my mother. I was 12. My older sister was just graduating high school. My older sister beyond that had graduated a couple years earlier. So here was a house, a mortgage, a 12-year-old boy who ate her out of house and home, and no job for my mother. I was mad. I was very, very bitter. I was very, very hurt. It's tough at any age, but when a 12-year-old boy's dad leaves him, a 12-year-old boy needs his dad. And what made it even worse was I saw how hard it was on my mom. Fighting her illness, working two part-time jobs from 8 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon, coming home, grabbing a quick one-hour nap, and then going back to work to another part-time job until 9 o'clock at night. Me home alone, eating nothing but bologna sandwiches a lot of nights because that's all we could afford. It hurt. And I'll tell you what, as I got to be a teenager and got into college, tried to reach out to my dad when I got to be an adult. He even came to visit me. You know, I called him up one day out of the blue. He didn't want anything to do with us. But I called him up out of the blue and I said, you know, nobody's getting any younger here. It'd be great if we could have a father-son relationship. So he came to visit us where we were living at the time. Nothing changed in all those years. He was still the way he had always been. The hurt. And all those symptoms that I said, lashing out with hurtful words, having it affect me, having it affect my personality. Had to keep plunging it down. Got to the point where I got saved. Some of you heard my testimony about that at the breakfast yesterday. Gave my life to Jesus. Began to contact my dad again to tell him that I loved him and that I forgave him and that I wanted to see him in heaven someday. I really did forgive him. I struggled with that. And I went to my pastor. I was a brand new Christian. I'd been churched all my life, by the way, but a person who had just recently then accepted Christ, I really realized what it meant to walk with Jesus, and I asked Jesus into my heart. And I went and I talked to my pastor about all this. And I said, I don't even know if I love my dad. I mean, he hurt me so badly. And my pastor asked me, he said, do you want to see your dad in heaven someday? And I said, well, of course, I would not wish anybody to go to hell. You know, that phrase is used so loosely in our culture. If people would really stop and think what that phrase means when they tell somebody to go there. I said, I would not wish that on anybody. He said, I think you do have a love for your dad. I had to ask the Lord to rejuvenate my love for my dad, to make it real, to make it sincere. And I wrote to my dad again and I told him that I loved him and that the difference Jesus was making in my life and I wanted to see my dad in heaven and I truly, truly had forgiven. I was set free. I didn't have to do this anymore. I'm giving you a short version of the story tonight. But I tell you what, like I said earlier, when Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Man, I was free. I didn't have to carry on. Like we sang earlier, my chains were gone. I mean, those chains that were like 1,000,000 pounds around my shoulders, they were gone. It took some time. I had to trust the Lord Jesus every step of the way, and I had to pray a lot. And you know, when I forgave my dad, there were still memories. And there were still ramifications of the hurt, if you will. My sisters today still struggle with things from all those years ago. But I came to forgive my dad. I gave up my right to get even. How did I try and get even with him? Remember I said, you know, one of the ways people get even is I'm not going to talk to somebody or whatever. When I was in college, he called. I was living with my sister and her husband at the time. And the phone rang and my sister said, hey, George, it's for you. And I said, who is it? She said, it's dad. And I went in, I took the phone, you know, the old landline plastic phones. And I took the phone and the only thing I said was, you didn't want anything to do with me when I was a kid. I don't want anything to do with you now. And I slammed that thing down as hard as I could. See, that was me getting even. But by the grace and power of Jesus Christ, it was gone because I forgave my dad. I know that your situation, if you're struggling with unforgiveness tonight, you may have your own hurts or situations that may be similar or totally different, but just as heavy and just as severe. And I want to tell you this evening that Jesus can help you. Because remember, that prayer that we prayed, Lord, forgive us as we forgive others. You know, we've come to the point in American Christianity where sometimes we think everything is easy peasy. Don't we like things easy peasy? We like the microwave instant, done, set, taken care of, piece of cake. But the Christian life often involves the call to sacrifice. In other words, I had to say, Jesus, it's not about me anymore. I'm done with this. I can't take it anymore. It's eating me from the inside out. Help me to forgive and set me free from that. And Jesus will do that for you as well. Does everybody have a piece of paper? David, would you pass out those pieces of paper, please? David and John, thank you. David and John are going to bring a piece of paper to you. And I'll give you just a moment for everybody to get that. On that piece of paper is a prayer of forgiveness. I just want to read through it, and I have it on the screen for the benefit of those of you who are worshiping with us online tonight. I know that you folks that have the paper, obviously you can read it, but if you just follow along with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit that it is often difficult to truly forgive someone for the hurts they've inflicted. Wounds often result from something said or done that was very hurtful. Yet someone's silence or inaction might sometimes be perceived as being hurtful or uncaring or insensitive. Regardless of the circumstances involved with the hurt, at this very moment, I now choose to forgive blank for hurting me by blank. I realize I can only do this with your help. While I don't excuse or condone their actions, I commit to not hold anything against them any longer. I give up my right to try to get even with them in any way. Psalm 147:3 says, "You heal the brokenhearted and bind up their wounds." Therefore, I ask you to please heal my wounds from this hurt and remove anything in me that has hindered my relationship with you. Please cleanse the hurt and hatred I've been carrying towards whomever and replace it with a love for that person. I pray in the name of Jesus. This evening, the Lord Jesus desires to help you shred any unforgiveness that you might have towards somebody. He wants to help you. He wants to heal you. He wants to set you free from that. And so what we're going to do is our worship team is going to come and they're going to lead us in a song about forgiveness that you are welcome to sing. And either during that song or after that song, you're invited to fill out that slip. This is between you and the Lord. Nobody's going to ask to see those slips. This is a private moment between you and Jesus. And then I'm going to invite you, either during the song or after, whenever you're ready to come up and shred that prayer and forgive, to experience forgiving someone who has hurt you very deeply. Shred that unforgiveness. It's your way of giving it over to the Lord Jesus and asking Him to help you forgive, asking Him to set you free from unforgiveness. So we're going to sing the song now, and whenever the Lord says you're ready to come and shred unforgiveness, would you come and do that? But I invite you to pay close attention to the words of the song, and I pray that you'll make it your prayer before you come and shred unforgiveness.
Forgive our sins as we forgive. You taught us, Lord, to pray, but you alone can grant us grace to live the words we say.
you be willing to come and shred your unforgiveness? And if you would like to also pray at the altar, you're welcome to do so. If you want to pray alone, that's great. If you want prayer, Pastor Keith or I will be happy to pray with you. But come, let Jesus set you free, and then we'll sing a closing song. You know, normally, wouldn't you say that's about the most annoying sound you've ever heard? But I'll tell you what, tonight, by the grace of God, that is a sound that is beautiful. Amen? Because if you've shed unforgiveness, you have victory in Jesus tonight. And by shredding it, you've let go of it, you've trusted to Him, and you're trusting in Jesus. Our worship team's going to lead us in a closing song when they're ready.
sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Are you free tonight?
Amen.
Are you free from the things that hold you down, that have held you captive? If you are, then you're free. Let's close our time in prayer, and then we will take a love offering for Pastor George. You may be seated if you want to. Father, thank you for the freedom that is ours only in you. Thank you that you came and paid the price. Thank you that you came and gave your life for us so that we might have abundant life. Father, thank you that you no longer want us to live with weight around our heart, that you no longer want us holding on to grudges. You no longer want us to be shaped by the things that would bring glory and honor to the evil one. You want your children free. So thank you for that freedom that is ours. Father, I pray that my brothers and sisters would continue to experience that freedom this week as they go out into their world, and that they would make a difference in people's lives, because nothing's holding them back from loving you and loving others. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for your very presence with us this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, Steve. David, would you pray for the offering when you come up? So after you have an opportunity to give, I want you to say to each other when you leave each other, I am free. I am free. Can you dismiss with that, I am free, because you've been forgiven. All right. God bless you. Thank you for being here.